This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
My wife plays with me.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Clint, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, it's python.
It's Sterny's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Dirty's Daily, powered by all the real men out there that aren't afraid to wear white underwear, white drawers in 2025. This one is for you, Dirty's Daily, on a hump day. All right, look, do the Texans need to make a trade before the trade deadline hits this season? Before or when, either way you want to look at it, I believe they need to be aggressive. If so, what position or positions do they need to target? Look, we all feel like, boys, we all feel like, I think we all feel like that the Texans can still make a run here. All right. With that said, I think it's very obvious that they need to go hunting before the trade deadline. I would prefer them do it now and up into the trade deadline before that market gets hotter than a firecracker and everybody knows what they need and everybody's out there hunting. I think it's going to be a busy trade deadline. Adam Schefter reporting that he believes there'll be a move or two every Monday and Tuesday leading up to the trade deadline, which if you do the math, I don't know, I'm going to trust them, is 10 or 12 different trades. We've already seen a handful of trades. And bottom line is the Texans are a team that I've believed for a couple of games now, really since I realized that I don't know that Christian Kirk is going to be Christian Kirk that we saw in Jacksonville or Arizona. There looks to be either still a hamstring issue going on with Christian Kirk, or Father Time has jumped on Christian Kirk. And then you start doing a little bit of digging, and there's some different outlets that are mentioning the Texans in teams that they expect to be busy come trade deadline time. Pro Football Network has the Texans as one of three teams that are in the market to upgrade via trade. Now, they didn't specify what position that is, but you know, I've got a couple of suggestions here. But there are going to be some really good players out there, not necessarily for the Texans, but some of the players that are being mentioned that are going to be available at trade. Breece Hall, running back with the Jets. Alvin Kamara, running back with the Saints. Roschon Johnson, you know him from his Texas days around these parts. A.J. Brown, I don't know how true that is, but A.J. Brown's going to be in the conversation until the Eagles start at least targeting him and throwing him the ball. Jacoby Myers, Romeo Doubs, Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Curtis Samuel, Tyler Lockett, Van Jefferson, those are all wide receivers. David Njoku, tight end out of Cleveland. Mark Andrews, tight end from Baltimore. Tanner Hudson, the tight end, one of the tight ends in Cincinnati. I really like Tanner Hudson, by the way. It's just kind of, there's, I think, got a little bit of a traffic jam in that particular room. You can see by the list, the players that I chose to list there, that I think it needs to be on the offensive side of the ball. I think the Texans need to be aggressive and active. We know they're going to be active. Nick Caserio doesn't miss an opportunity to flip stones and talk moves here. But I think they need to be aggressive. And again, as you can tell, the players that I listed, I want them to be aggressive with offensive skill players. I don't know that I want to be real aggressive at the running back position, but I do think some of those guys are awfully sexy longer term, especially when it looks like Joe Mixon is not going to be around or a Texan much longer. The tight end position is one that we haven't talked about much. With all the injuries and having Dalton Schultz have to carry a lot of the load, I think when you look at David Njoku and Mark Andrews and Tanner Hudson, those are three guys that whether it's because there's an expiring contract or because their team ain't worth a damn, could be on the move. And I could see the Texans upgrading their tight end position, because if we're completely honest, the guys that we've seen get injured aren't necessarily guys that would upseat a David Njoku or Mark Andrews or that kind of player. A lot of hope for Cade Stover. A lot of hope, obviously, paid Brevin Jordan a little bit of money. But even with those guys in the fold, I don't know that some of the other guys are going to keep you from adding some depth. Even if it's a rental player for 1 year, if you feel like you can make a run this season. Ron, I think those are just the other offensive skills. I'm really leaning heavily into the wide receiver group. Look, there has been one player. There's been one player in the last 25 games, not named Nico Collins, that's had a 100-yard game for the Texans. One player, and that's Tank Dell. Now, to be fair, he was on his way to another 100-yard game when his leg damn near fell off. Yeah. Tank Dell did it 10-31 in 2024. That's the one player that's gone for over 100. Now, Noah Brown, the previous year, did it a couple times. You remember that run that Noah Brown had? Tank Dell did it three times in 2023. Dalton Schultz did it once in 2023. Hell, we can even throw Christian Kirk in this list. Christian Kirk's last 100-yard game was in 2023 as well. It was a shortened season, but I think he played 12 or 13 games, 14 games. He had a couple of 100-yard games that 2023 season. So if you look at it, the reason I wanted to lay those out is you had – in 2023, you had Nico Collins. You had Tank Dell, who went for 100 three times. You had Noah Brown, who went for 100 twice. You had Dalton Schultz, who went for 100 once. You had six other 100-yard performances from somebody not named Nico Collins. Right now, you can throw Christian Kirk's last year in Jacksonville in the mix, and the only guy you got in the building that's had a 100-yard game in the last year and 5 weeks is Tank Dell, and all he's doing is jogging. He's not active. So I look at this, Ron, and I can't help but get to a place where wide receiver has to be a position where they've got to be considering making a move sooner rather than later. Again, I don't know what that looks like. I mentioned last week when we talked about it, I like Rashid Shaheed. I like a speed, take the top off the defense type of guy at the very least. But some of these other guys could turn me on a bit, and I think the Texans, I don't think they should. Hell, I think they need it.
I think the two big questions that Nick Caserio and D'Amico are asking themselves, if they're in the same mindset, and it should at least be a conversation to improve your team, is one – all right, what level are we talking about of guy do we need to add? Is it A.J. Brown? Is it, Jacoby Myers, which feels like a 2 to a Nico? Or is it Tyler Lockett, who feels like even a 3? Like, what level, Van Jefferson in that same range, what level do they need to add, right? There are guys that aren't even 2s in the league that just hold a certain special skill set that can kind of change things, right? And I think Shaheed may fall into that. And then the other thing is, if it's not what level, then it is, all right, do we feel like the guys we have here, which are young guys, in Higgins and Noel especially, that have only played 5 NFL games, and Xavier Hutchinson, who hasn't played a lot of games at the receiver position, are we in a space where if we feel like, all right, let's just wait and their development will get to what we're looking at? I think those are the two questions that they are posing to themselves in the do we go and add a perimeter weapon type of deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that play into it. I just think that if you are going to be serious about saving this year, And if you're going to be serious about making a run, as good as your defense is, I think if you stay as you are right now, Ron, I think we look up in December and we're like, man, we ain't got enough juice on the offensive side of the football to make this happen. The defense is so damn good, but we don't have the juice on the offensive side of the ball to make it happen. That is my biggest fear with this current group. Could one of the rookies all of a sudden emerge? Absolutely. Could Christian Kirk come out in that hamstring after a bye week, be full go, and he be lights out? Absolutely. Anything's possible. But I'm telling you right now, when you watch the film, there is absolutely nothing beyond a Baltimore Ravens third-string cornerback that where guys are creating separation that gives you any hope in what we're watching. So anybody can emerge. I would argue that whether it's a rental player on an expiring contract and you make a move and you roll the dice, a little bit of a gamble, or you bring a guy in here and you got Nico Collins, said guy, and now all of a sudden you've got some rookies that got a year, they could come along. They're complement. One's a big-bodied receiver, one's more of a slot guy, so they're not all-around wide receivers. They're a little bit more of what I would call niche guys. They've got a position to play, a letter in front of their name, not just a, hey, you can go play anywhere type of guy. So I would argue that you're going to need that anyway. But, Ron, I think this is real talk. I think there needs to be a move. What do you think about the tight end thought?
I think they need to – like, that's another one. I think they need to add somebody there because – oh, man, what, Harrison Bryant and then the Bates fella, he slid in there, 082. Yep.
Braden Bates, baby.
Because the other part of it is, this is different from the receiver position. Clint, there's no, all right, man, we got a young guy in the wings ready to roll. Like, these guys they're hurt right now. These are your options, right? And I think adding somebody at least that is halfway thought of as a weapon.
Yep.
Right. And Joku, that'd be, you know, fantastic. He's better than the one you got. Like, I don't even know that they need that, but you know, just somebody else that isn't a practice squad right. level type yeah. players. And I think outside of Schultz, that's what they have. Like, there's no, all right, hey man, Cade Stover, we're just building the seat. Man, his foot broke. Like yeah. it's gonna be a minute. You know, before he gets...
Yeah, I think any way that they can find real weapons for C.J. Stroud, I think they're in a need where they've got to go find them. Like I said, look, I have stroked Dalton Schultz more than I'm comfortable with, to be honest with you, the last couple of weeks. But Dalton Schultz is not a guy that you line up and go, hey, man, if this safety gets on Dalton, it's a mismatch. Dalton Schultz is a guy that's going to eat up zone. He's a guy that's going to make himself available for the quarterback. But he's not a guy that you get down in the red zone. It's like all of a sudden we're going to throw a high ball to the back on the back line. And he's gonna go get it. You know, you get a guy like David Njoku, if he actually is available, even if it's a rental, something like that would be absolutely nasty. Again, I'm not aware of his contract situation right now, so I'm not positive that's. I know there's a lot of mentions of him being on the trade block. Here's the other part of this thing, the other side of this thing, for the Houston Texans discussing whether the Texans need to. Go ahead and get active in the trade market now before the trade deadline hits. They've got some pieces, Ron. I mean, you look at acquiring EJ Speed, a guy we just talked about, Christian Harris. I got to believe would be a
I got to believe people are calling to figure that out.
I got
to
believe that people would be interested and that there's value there. Damian Pierce. Now, I'm one that believes that it'd be hard to move Damian Pierce in a trade by himself, but if you can package him up with somebody, I do think there are organizations out there that, you know, maybe have a depth issue in the running back room and see Damian Pierce's value. One guy that I loved in training camp hasn't got a ton of run this year, Daryl Taylor. You know, with Danielle Autry coming back.
Yeah.
And Daryl Taylor not getting a hell of a lot of run. And the fact that you got, what's the old head's name? It's Derek Barnett.
Yeah.
You know, he's on the roster. Like, could you part ways with Daryl Taylor and bring somebody in, get Danico Autry on the field? And are you better defensively if you move Daryl Taylor? Like, there are pieces that the Texans have that I think would be awfully sexy to other teams that could help you bring in a higher caliber player. So, again, I don't know if any of this is going to happen. I just know what I'm watching on film right now with the Texans. It's going to be tough for this group, Ron, because what have we talked about in the past? you get to a certain point in the playoffs and you run into a defense. In the past, it's been Baltimore, but you run into a defense that is a solid defense, a solid to a great defense, and all of a sudden they have the ability to suffocate you. They have the ability to take Nico away with multiple defenders, man everybody else up. You can't create separation. You have a hard time protecting the quarterback. Because the one thing that can derail what I've said all along about C.J. Stroud going out there and C.J. Stroud playing the way he's playing, the one thing that can derail that is if somebody's got defenders that they can come down, lock it up, take away the easy throws and force him to hold it, and then you got problems, right? So there's going to come a time when the Texans, let's say they do get this season right, and they make a run, you better believe they're going to run into, damn sure in the playoffs, probably before it, they're going to run into several defenses where that defense has no problem buckling down and forcing CJ to hold the ball. And then it's going to come down to you have guys beyond Nico Collins that can separate. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm not comfortable going the long haul and gambling on anybody on this roster right now being a guy that can separate to that level. Again, one player in the last 25 games not named Nico Collins has gone for 100-plus yards, and that guy is Tank Dell, and he's not available.
And to the point that you made, like, with the exception of these last two defenses, the Titans, and really, to be honest with you, the Titans in a way did it for three quarters, but it's been the Ravens and the Titans. Outside of that, you know, all the teams this year have suffocated you. They've been able to do that. They've been able to to tighten down. And like I said, the Titans did it for more stretches in that game than they didn't. So that adds to it is really the only team we haven't seen that's been able to suffocate you is the Ravens, right? And they haven't been able to suffocate anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the question. What do you think? 713-572-4610. Do the Texans need to make a move? I think it's a need. I'm sure everybody out there would like for them to. What the hell? Why wouldn't you want to bring weapons in, make this thing more fun to watch, make it a little bit more explosive? Right now, boy, if you're going to check this thing down and you're going to death by a thousand cuts, man, you need somebody that can maybe run after catch a bit, not named Nico Collins. And not that they're not here. They may be here. They may emerge. Jalen Noel may all of a sudden become a guy that's, you know, 6-7-8 catches a damn game. We'll see. See how that goes. I do want to remind everybody before we get out of here, Buffalo Wild Wings.
That's right.
Buffalo Wild Wings Grill and Bar. Richie Road, baby. Richie Road up Spring Way. You know where it's at, up 45 near Spring. I don't know what the exact address is, but it's Richie Road, Buffalo Wild Wings location. Come hang out with us Thirsty Thursday. That is tomorrow and Football Friday. Not Boomerang Jack, Tyler's. Boomer Jack's, baby. Boomer Jack's Grill.
I said boomerang.
Yeah, you said boomerang in my ear. 1110. 1110 Grand West Boulevard in Katy.
Dingo!
Boomer Jack's. Come hang out with us. Thirsty Thursday, Football Friday. If you can make both, come on. If not, get to one. Hey, if you can't make either one of them, if that's not your side of town, hey, hit up a Buffalo Wild Wings. Hit up a Boomer Jack's and have you a cold beer on the drive.
Yeah,
for the drive, not on the drive. For the drive. Sorry.
Yeah, don't pour it on us.
Sorry.
By the way, that address tomorrow, because I had a tough time on Thursday, 15800 North Freeway, 15800 North Freeway. That is the address for tomorrow's Buffalo Wild Wings location. So come hang out with us, as Clint said, a little Thirsty Thursday. You know we ain't going to be empty-handed. Shout out to Bud Light and Buffalo Wild Wings as well. All right, coming up, before we get to our guy Brandon Scott, oh, Clint, this is this sounds like it may be the beginning of the end. Reports out here about Bill Belichick at North Carolina.
Aye.
Oh, God. Some guy named Ole is the one who busted things open. And this guy looks like he's under 30.
Wide open?
By the name of Ole. Yeah.
Ollie?
Wide open. Wide open.
You think it's Ole? Or you think it's Ollie?
I think it's Ole.
He looks like an Ole.
He looks like an Ole. That's coming up next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed's sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
All right, coming up here at 4:40, our guy Brandon Scott will join us for his Texans report. As I said, Clint, Ollie Connolly, who writes for The Guardian, and this Belichick situation is getting interesting. Per sources, Bill Belichick has discussed buyout options with North Carolina's hierarchy already. Belichick has signaled a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing with another team or in media. Also, members of Belichick's members of Belichick's coaching staff have already spoken to other schools that are expected to be in the college football playoffs about taking on roles during the postseason. From one coach, quote, "The rats are leaving the ship," quote. Some staffers believe a change will come within 2 weeks. More reports of serious recruiting violations remain under investigation at UNC. Recruiting and practice violations have already been proven by the school, according to multiple sources. Continuing, using recruit violations to knock down a coach's buyout has become a standard practice. If Belichick cannot find a landing spot to trigger his own buyout, he is expected to accept a greatly reduced compromise rate. Belichick communicated with his staff in the past 2 weeks. Has been described as weird and distant by multiple members of UNC's coaching staff. Multiple coaches were unable to get a hold of him during UNC's bye week. From one UNC defensive assistant, quote, "What we've done to these kids is effed up.
Applebee's has rats."
This looks like this is coming.
Does this surprise anybody?
This is coming to an end.
Does this surprise anybody? Not that he's failing miserably, but does this response surprise anybody?
This response, no. I'm a little surprised that
we're on to Duke.
I'm a little surprised that he's that he's failing miserably this way?
As am I.
As a coach, from the football perspective, I know they're 2-3, but any time they played anybody worth a damn, they've just gotten their asses rolled.
Yep.
And it was, and you brought it up on Monday with weekends worse. It was a really bad look in the stadium. But man, this looks like this is coming to an end.
Yeah, it should. It should. They should get out of this thing as quickly as they possibly can, as cheaply as they possibly can, and move on. I've said it a million times. The worst thing you can do when you're in this kind of situation is to wallow in it. And I don't. The interesting thing about this is what has happened since Brady left Belichick. He has been an absolute mess show. It's been awful.
Made one playoff with Mac Jones, and outside of that,
before it all fell apart, right? And then just stupid decision after stupid decision. And we watch people in the media, because it's Belichick, act like it's normal. Like some of the hiring a defensive coordinator, defensive minded head coach that gets fired as your offensive coordinator is a fireable offense, right? I mean, like that, and then when it bombs, you wonder why guys don't develop, and guys, you can't win games. Like that whole thing, since Brady has left, Belichick has been a joke. And this is just the most recent one. Now, this is the worst example, and I cannot wait to see how national media treats this with Belichick. I mean, you can't, this dude ain't been, he ain't been Bill Belichick since he got there. I know you and I, we talked about the girlfriend thing and how people kind of targeted that and all that. But Bill Belichick has always been a guy that no distractions nowhere. Even if it is unfair, and it's pictures of something that's a relationship that's nobody's business. Even if it is unfair, like Bill Belichick was a guy that would all, hey, put a stop to it. We ain't gonna be in the camp. We're not gonna be in the public eye. We're not whatever. Put a stop to it. And it just seems like he has just aborted all of his, you know, what made him great at New England, and now it's just whatever. And then when going gets tough, you quit. When going gets tough, you cancel the Hulu documentary that was being recorded.
What was the first part?
Yeah, man.
That happened earlier this week, and now it looks like he's going to be out. And to your point, he is like, sometimes you hear about legacies and people talk about legacies. His is really taking a hit. I mean, how long ago was it? And I don't even know if people view him that way anymore. But how long was it that he was the unquestioned best coach of all time? It was.
Oh, I still think he had, when he left New England, I still think there's a lot of people that felt that way just simply because they're trophy chasers.
Yeah, but now like the way this thing is run, I don't think people even gonna think twice about, you know, giving him that status. Yeah, he won 6 Super Bowls, but
yeah.
This is like I think a point you also made is like the who gets the most credit thing, that Brady Belichick thing. I mean, it just continues to move to Brady every single day, it seems right.
Well, if Trent Dilfer would have went out there and won five Super Bowls with the Baltimore Ravens, we wouldn't be talking about how great Trent Dilfer was.
Yeah.
I think there's some obviously he's a coach, and obviously there's a defensive mind, and their defense was great. And but look, I heard somebody earlier talking about, you know, this is just a blip on the radar. It won't mean anything. Everybody will forget about it in the future. I guess I didn't know this, which makes the point. I didn't know that Bill Walsh coached at Stanford, I believe, after San Francisco, and apparently bombed there. I didn't know that, and nobody. But I think we live in a different world today than that.
Yeah,
like I think the amount of people that are going to find this interesting and talk about this and make note of this.
We got more details about your failures too.
Yeah, yeah, and it seems like you've been,
and now he's
done a bunch of kids bad.
He's done, right? Like nobody, and obviously he's, how old is Bill? 73, 74, whatever he is. Like after everything that happened in New England, the NFL would not hire him, right? That was why he had to go to North Carolina, would not hire him, and then this is blowing up in the face. Like his best bet is to go on with Peyton or somebody to do some TV stuff, because they're like any kind of organization, university, nobody's going to – I think he's done.
Yeah, I think he's done head coaching and done coaching, yes. But the way they pay these consultants and stuff nowadays, there's a lot of folks that he hired that won a lot of games. Matt Patricia's going to be a head coach in college before you know it. He's a hell of a defensive coordinator right now at Ohio State.
You think somebody would say, hey, man, I need a favor?
We got a guy here in Houston that probably thinks pretty highly of him.
Don't even pull that he'd come over as a consultant.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm not talking about coaching. I'm talking about consultant.
Like he come no.
Oh yeah. Nah. He you think he's a guy that's gonna not be involved in the game?
He's just gonna be. I think he's got to be Bill? From. He's got to be a media side.
How old is Bill?
He's got to be 70. Let's see, 73.
I mean, Bill got 5 years left if he's
73. Yeah.
Bill got 5 years left if he gets out of football. If he's not in media
like on
or
the
some
earth?
Kind. Yes.
Oh,
he'll paterno this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe's heart was. Joe was. Yeah. Joe was a little bit more than poor coaching, but yeah. I don't know, man. I think because he's actually been pretty good with Peyton and them and doing the TV.
Yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, it is interesting.
So
yeah.
I think that's what he. But nobody wants to get in the business.
He was pretty
of,
good at coaching before he went to North Carolina.
He was pretty good at coaching. But I don't think anybody
ribs
wants
left back here.
I think so. I don't think anybody wants to get in the Bill Belichick business anymore.
Ronnie's wings, time. Ronnie's ribs, not wings. Ronnie's ribs. You had them yet, Tyler?
I have not.
Yeah, well, I'm probably going to feed better. You better hope there's a few extra back here because I'm going to eat it, whatever's there.
Text nice. Line, by the way, said maybe send his ass to Arkansas.
No, I'm good. I'm all set.
Nobody wants to go there.
Jeez.
Just kidding. Just kidding.
Unnecessary. Paramount Jeez. Plus.
Not talking about Austin.
Football on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS at Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Coming up next, Brandon Scott, he will join us. We'll get his Texans report.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney Plus. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's Nick.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy B. Scott has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
You ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That's right. It's Wednesday. Even on the bye week, we have our guy B. Scott. He's in the building as the Texans are now 2-3 after that ass kicking they put down on the Ravens. Bye week, then they have Monday Night Football coming up against a good Seattle Seahawks team. And I guess I'll start here with you. What did you learn in the last two games? 70-10 is the Texans' score with their opponents. What did you learn? You think you've learned now the last two games about the Texans?
So part of what I learned was just confirmation. I knew that this was a really good defense, and they have only confirmed that over the last couple of weeks. What I learned that was new is the Texans might have an offense. Like, this offense might be cooking with grease now.
You said might.
Now, it's still a might because we haven't seen enough of it. And look, I'm not blaming them for their opponents. I don't want them to change the schedule or change the circumstance and make the Titans be better and make the Ravens be healthy. Like, they can't do these things. Like, they got to deal with the schedule that's in front of them. With that being said, it was against a Titans team that nobody thinks is any good and has shown it's not really any good. And then a Ravens team that, look, their defense wasn't good when their guys were healthy. They certainly weren't going to be good against the Texans. And it was, for me, why I thought going into the game they had no excuse not to perform. Now, I didn't know they was going to put up no 40 burger or nothing like that, but I didn't feel like they had any excuses not to perform against that version of the Ravens defense. And I'll be damned if they didn't go out there and handle business. So what I learned is they've made progress. They've shown some signs that are encouraging about the offense in terms of the play calling, the sequencing of the plays, how they're using guys, who they're involving in the game. I've been making this point all week. Like, you know, we went in after the first couple of games complaining about them not getting Nico Collins involved enough and the fact that they didn't have enough weapons. Now they seem to have found the best of both worlds, at least in these last couple of games, where they're feeding Nico Collins appropriately, but they're also distributing the ball to other guys and getting other guys involved. So dare I say it looks like a competent offense.
Yeah, this is what I would have liked to have happened. I know it's crazy to say it, but what you would like to have happened in the preseason, right, is you got a team that needs to win more than 10 games, go beyond the second round of the playoffs. Let's get all of these, what they've had to flush out over the first 3 weeks of football. I don't know how to flush it out in the preseason, but here we sit, and I feel like the last two games have been somewhat preseason-like, and now all of a sudden you're fixing to go play Seattle, who looks to be a real contender this year, and see if what you put on tape works against a better football team.
Yeah, and one of the things specifically about the offense that really has me encouraged on their behalf is, look, we talk a lot about, and did talk a lot in the first couple of weeks, about the penalties. And I think it goes without saying that you don't want penalties. It's in the name. You get penalized. Like, it's obviously a negative thing. But what I didn't like and have not liked about this offense or about the narrative, I should say, is the excuse making for the penalties. Like, oh, we got penalties that kill the drive. We got some penalties. We had some false starts. We had some issues. Now the whole operation is upside down. I get how that puts you behind, but I want to see how good you are. Can you overcome those mistakes? Because you're going to have these mishaps throughout the course of a game. Now, you prefer not to have 8-10 penalties or whatever it is. Prefer to have 2 or 4, 2 to 4 or something like that. But early in this game, you can look at it where they have that penalty on the field goal drive, their first field. So not their first drive, but their second drive, their first field goal drive. And look, they ran 10 plays. 8 of them were pretty good plays. Now they had the penalty, and then they gave up the sack to Kyle Van Noy when it was a blown blocking assignment or whatever it was. But it was off the strength of that drive overall that they were able to salvage that drive and have a 50-yard field goal. The next drive where they find Nico Collins in the end zone, they get that Dalton Schultz penalty earlier in the drive. And look, a couple of weeks ago, it seemed like that would have buried them. But no, they're still moving the ball. They still got confidence in their plays. And then what do you know? Third down, C.J. Stroud's able to find Nico Collins. I say all that to say in the end zone. I say all that to say it looks like an offense that not only is finding its way in terms of play calling, but even is showing a little bit of explosiveness, a little bit of spiciness to where they can overcome a bad play or two and still not be dead in the water.
Yeah, Brandon Scott joining us, Texans Report. And we've talked about this a bit today. Like, this isn't just about the teams they played. They've actually, there've been quite a bit of change in the last 2 weeks with the team, from players to looks like the way they're running offense, the way they're doing things, from, you know, C.J. Gardner-Johnson to Cam Rump. They've not only had advantageous opponents, but they've made some changes as well that I think now we're going to see a little bit more when we get this stretch of games against better opponents. But I think the changes they've made have something to do with also the better play and success.
Yeah, I don't think it's a coincidence that the communication is a lot better on defense and that you see a lot fewer of some of these communication gaps that they were having before. I don't think it's a coincidence that the offensive line now that has had a couple of weeks to be fully healthy. They put in Juice Scruggs, who was not spectacular by any means, but that seems to be having them in a little bit more of an offensive rhythm. Yeah, man, look, the way I look at it is like they lost a couple of close games to some really good teams and did not play their best ball. The big blemish on the season so far for me is losing that game at Jacksonville when Jacksonville tried to give you the game. Now, it looks like they might be a better football team than they showed on that particular day, but if we're just going to isolate it to that particular day, the Texans should have won that game. Hell, any football team should have won that game because it didn't seem like Jacksonville had any interest in winning it, and you gave it to them anyway. You didn't go out there and take it. So outside of that, I feel like I've seen some good and some not so bad, not so terrible, and we got to be real. They're now a different team, at least on the defensive side, a little bit of a different team than they were the first couple of weeks of the season.
That's a really good point about, you know, the Texans and their – I mean, I guess the fact that through this – we talked about it yesterday. Through this two-game stand, you could have been like, to hell with it. We just need to feel some success, man. Go bombs away. Go hold the football and throw it deep. And to your point of through this thing, they've changed some players. They've changed some scheme. And their quarterback has committed to a different looking brand of quarterback, right? And so, in a time when you could have just been like, "To hell with the system," and I'm finna go get mine. You know what I mean? It looks like guys have bought in more. It looks like guys have committed more. And to your point, that is a plus when we start digging into. Well, boy, are we gonna see this on Monday night against Seattle?
And if you want any evidence of what you're saying right there, look no further than the run game. Like the way. Like the offensive line doing a pretty good job in the run game, but the way as a unit, as an overall unit, they're kind of getting after it in the run game, I think in a way that wasn't – I don't feel like they did it like this last year.
And Dalton Schultz damn sure didn't.
Yeah, Dalton Schultz, the addition of the rookie Higgins, that's obviously he's a bigger body receiver, but he gets after it in the run game. Of course, Jalen Knowles, a smaller dude, but – lifts like a linebacker. So you got some guys that are going out there and getting after it in the run game. The thing that I'm really looking out to see, and the question that I'm still trying to answer, and don't have the answer to yet, in terms of whether they're a good football team, like they're 2-3, so just by record, they're not. But are they or can they actually be a good football team is when they start winning some of these close games. Like the one thing to point out about the last couple of games, and you like it, you kind of prefer it to be a blowout, but they have been blowouts. When they've played in the close games, they have lost them. And to me, the good teams are the ones that either find a way to win the close games or in that Jacksonville case, because they wasn't no good team in winning that close game, find a way not to lose the close game, which is what the Texans did in that game. So to me, the Rams, the Bucks go out and win the close game, good teams. The Texans go out and lose the close game, not an indication of a good team. Will they start doing that? Will we see it start with the Monday Night Football game against Seattle? At some point, they're going to play another close game. It's bound to happen. And what side of the ledger do they fall on when it comes time to show it?
Real quick, how you feel about them their chances of getting back in it in terms of the AFC South, the division?
That I'm worried about. I'm glad you asked me that because I've been looking and doing the math and trying to just configure it all in my head. Look, it's not like they're going to sweep their non-division opponents. But it's not like you can take for granted that they're just going to sweep the division going the rest of the way. And so where is the catch-up going to happen? Who's going to step up? Who's going to fall off? Like, in terms of the Texans, like, are they going to catch fire? And is Indy and Jacksonville going to come back down to earth at some point? And, or are we going to have some kind of meeting of the middle? I'm not exactly sure. The way I sit here, or from where I sit here right now, I feel like, hey, you can't afford to lose that next Jacksonville game, obviously, because you already lost to them once. Can't lose to Tennessee because that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got two games against Indianapolis that feel like, again, from where we sit right now, feel like got to have it games on the back end of the season.
Yeah, especially if you're going to try to win this division.
Yeah.
All right, B. Scott, we appreciate you. Catch him on Friday as he'll be on In the Loop. He's with us each and every Wednesday at 4:40.
All 4 hours on Friday at that.
All four hours.
Tomorrow and Friday, all 4 hours on In the Loop in with Luke Morrow. So y'all check us out.
All right, well, we certainly will. That is Brandon Scott. Again, every single Wednesday with us at 4:40. Coming up a little 5 o'clock fire as we continue. Congrats are in order for C.J. Stroud and Brian Stefanski. He said, hold up now. Hold up. I know we traded Joe Flacco, but it ain't done yet. We'll let you hear what he had to say coming up next.